This is Speaking of Writers. I'm Steve Richards. In the book Still See You Everywhere by Lisa Gardner, Frankie Elkin is suddenly contacted by Kaylee Pearson, the beautiful butcher, a notorious serial killer who viciously murdered 18 men. Pearson, on death row in Texas with only 21 days left to live, has received a tip on the whereabouts of her beloved younger sister, Leilani, who was kidnapped more than a decade earlier and maybe in the clutches of Pearson's wealthy ex-boyfriend. Fearing for her sister's life, Pearson desperately needs Frankie's help. Despite her reservations, Frankie is compelled to search for a missing person who might still be alive before her only sister meets her death. Lisa Gardner is the number one New York Times best-selling thriller novelist with over 30 million copies of her books in print worldwide and published in over 30 languages. A self-described research junkie, Lisa has transformed her interest in police procedure and criminal minds into a streak of internationally acclaimed novels. Her novel, The Neighbor, won Best Hardcover Novel from the International Thriller Writers, and she has also been honored for her work with Animal Rescue and At-Risk Children. An avid hiker, gardener, and cribbage player, too, Lisa makes her home in New England. Happy to have Lisa Gardner back on this podcast. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much. It's good to get to speak with you again.
Where did the idea for Still See You Everywhere come from?
This book happened a little backwards for me. 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to a remote atoll that was 3 hours off of Hawaii. And I was going actually for fun, education, to learn about the ecological reclamation of coral. But the minute we landed, and you're in, looks like paradise, but there's only 12 people there. We're all strangers to each other. And then the plane leaves again, and you realize we're totally isolated, remote, and there's 12 of us, and we're all strangers to each other. I'm like, oh my God, this is a locked room mystery. In fact, really, I was like, this is Agatha Christie's, and then there were none. And then I knew Frankie had to go there. She just had to.
So does it enhance the suspense in this book, that place?
Yeah, I think in this particular book, the location is almost like its own character. There is the physical discomfort of 85% humidity all the time. Towels are wet, sheets are wet. You know, Frankie's learning that you can actually grow fungus on your skin. There is the wildlife, which is entirely crabs, because I got to experience them too. And the coconut crabs come out at night and they are terrifying. They are larger than my dogs and territorial and a bit vicious. And so Frankie is not only trying to learn who these people are and learn how she might connect or possibly rescue a young girl, but she's also trying to figure out how to survive in this very isolated location.
Kaylee Pearson is a convicted serial killer, as I mentioned in the introduction, a terrifying villain. How do you find the humanity in your bad guys, Lisa?
You know, I actually really love The Beautiful Butcher because it's fun when you get to do a character who really is down with their homicidal tendencies. I mean, she not only confessed to killing 18 men, she wouldn't mind doing it again. I mean, there's not a repentant bone in her body. But you're right. You have to feel something for her, or Frankie taking on this case makes no sense at all. And in the case of Kaylee, it's her sister. I mean, she's an abusive, horrific person, but she loves her baby sister. She would argue some of the things, crimes she's done has been to protect her baby sister. And that gives us something we can relate to in her. And I think her rage is also tempered by her pain. She grew up in a household where you were predator or prey. She doesn't want to be prey ever again. And you can respect that.
Lisa, how hard is it to write a scene like that, a horrific scene?
You know, they're fun. The action scenes, the, you know, homicidal maniac scenes, those are really the high point of my job half the time. You just let it all go and you can let your mind enter. You know, we're all so civilized and I think I'm a pretty well-adjusted human being. So it's nice every now and then on occasion to be, how would I go about doing this? I would like to be an evil mastermind.
Do you have to take a break after writing a scene like that? Is it going to be exhausting or is it invigorating?
It's invigorating. Okay, see, and I'm going to get arrested by the end of this podcast. You know, it's play acting, you know, and it's always fun to play act the villain.
What do you think, and why do you think mystery writing appeals to you so much?
I love a puzzle. I always have. And my family were big games players, cribbage, a lot of card games. We grew up reading mysteries. My grandmother's favorite author was Earl Stanley Gardner, Perry Mason, call him the original John Grisham. So I think in terms of puzzles, and I like to read them, but I also writing them, the whole point for me to show up every day and work on these books, like Still See You Everywhere, is how to solve the puzzle. Because I don't know the answer when I start out. I'm writing each day to get there.
Which is more important to you, writing a mystery, the plot or the characters, and why?
I actually think the character. There's a million plots out there and excellent plots out there, and it's easy enough to have action sequences and have people on the run. But if you don't care about them, if these characters aren't speaking to you, if you're not feeling Frankie's rawness and pain as a recovering alcoholic trying to stay sober by doing something that might be actually quite crazy, in fact, you know, finding missing people, then you're not going to be vested in the plot and what happens next.
What genres do you especially enjoy reading? You said you grew up reading mysteries. Do you still read a lot of mystery?
I read a lot of suspense. I read a lot of fantasy, young adult, nonfiction, I guess literary fiction, women's fiction. I just like to read. I still read probably, you know, 2 to 3 books a week.
In terms of research, I mentioned in the introduction that you are a detailed researcher. You love to do research, but can too much research on a backstory slow down the pace of a good thriller?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was Hemingway that was famous for that whole, you have to learn the iceberg to write the tip. I find for myself, and I'm embarrassed to say this because it has been 30 years, my first draft will always have way too many details. It's like I'm trying to show off the homework I did. And then the second draft, because I realize that that is killing the pacing, I remove too many of the details, and now you're just a little confused. But don't worry, the third draft, I'm going to get this right.
You mentioned with 30 years, it's what, 28 novels now?
Yeah.
Do you ever go back to read some of the earlier works?
I'm terrified because I think we've just established a rewriter. I think I would just, every page would be like, give me a writing pin. Come on, I could do better.
What mystery writers have influenced your work over the years?
Well, of course, Agatha Christie. Yeah. In fact, part of Still See You Everywhere was inspired by And Then There Were None. In fact, I was thinking of that a lot while I was writing this book. Mary Higgins Clark, you know, the great dame. Mm. She presented me with an award in Paris several years ago, and it was definitely one of the highlights of my career. And it felt like you were in the company of royalty. Stephen King, John Saul, Sidney Sheldon. Do you remember those books?
Oh, yeah.
So pretty much anything with a dark and stormy night, you could find me reading under the covers by flashlight.
Lisa, what's the best thing about being an author?
You know, for me, it is the research. It's having a job where I have a good excuse to go talk to fascinating people who do really incredible work and are some of the smartest people on the planet. And each year I get to learn all new people. Like that. I mean, certainly I will never be bored.
I know you just came off book tour. What's been the feedback from readers on this book, Still See You Everywhere?
Oh, book tour was so much fun. It was actually the two other things that are great about being an author. One, connecting with readers. It's been 4 years since I've been on book tour. Just to get to, you know, if you're a storyteller, to finally connect with the people reading the story and hearing their enthusiasm and how much they love Frankie. And as the, you know, speech is going on, they're Googling coconut crabs. You can hear them start to gasp and like, oh my God, that thing's huge, you know? And I did it in each stop, I had an author friend up with me. So it's like Karen Slaughter, David Baldacci, Alex Finley, Hank Philippi Ryan. And that's the other thing, particularly the thriller writers. We're very collegial. We have a lot of fun together. I'm always like, you should hang with us in the bar. We've gotten out our aggressions all day long, killing people. End of the day, we're pretty happy.
Yeah, I never thought I'd learn this much about coconut crabs in this interview, but this is great. Yeah. What would you like readers to take away from this book?
Oh, that's a good question. That it's okay to not be okay, for lack of a better word. I think one of the things that's really compelling about Frankie and her journey is she knows she's broken. She knows she's not necessarily making great life choices. She's putting herself in harm's way for strangers. You know, she does not have a permanent address, a stable job, not even a cat. You know, as far as adulting goes, is she even a capable adult? And yet this works for her. It lets her get through each day, one day at a time. And that in and of itself is an accomplishment. And sometimes we all have to give ourselves credit for that. And we all have to be grateful there are the Frankies out there in the world who are trying to make a difference in our community, because hundreds of thousands of people go missing, and so many of them, no one's looking for at all.
I want to talk to you about your writing process a little bit here. Are we looking at your writing studio? Do you have a special place where you write?
Yes. Well, from this position, this is actually kind of my reading nook, but I'm looking at my desk, and I live in the mountains of New Hampshire, and I have a gorgeous view of Mount Washington. So when I get stuck, I just stare at the mountains.
Are you an outliner or a pantser?
I am totally a pantser, which is why the process is so messy. But what I like about it is it lets the characters take over and kind of help find the story. And when readers come up and say, I never saw the end coming, it's like, yeah, me neither. So happy it works.
We talked about the setting earlier for this book. Did the character Frankie come to you first?
Well, this is her third book.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I knew her. But one of the reasons I kind of, you know, because I did FBI profilers and then I did a Boston detective, I will admit one of the reasons I like Frankie is she moves. You know, my Boston detective, I was always in Boston, which I love. It's a great place to kill people. But Frankie can go anywhere. So you have these opportunities when you're in such a different and powerful location to be, oh, yeah, I could totally use this for evil.
The book is Still See You Everywhere. The author is Lisa Gardner. You can connect online with Lisa Gardner, find out where she's going to be on her next tour at lisagardner.com. Also, facebook.com, Lisa Gardner BKS. Instagram at Lisa Gardner BKS. And also on X2 at Lisa Gardner BKS. Still See You Everywhere is the book out now. Lisa, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, this has been so much fun. Thank you very much.
And this is Speaking of Writers.